Good afternoon, Tech Ed. How is everybody? Good? Yeah? Are you having a good time? Good time, yes. Yeah, she's still awake after lunch. Yes, not too shabby. Yes. No. All out last night. Okay. Thank you very much for coming along to my session. Really appreciate it. First of all, a couple of things. This has nothing to do with Tech Ed. Nothing to do with technology. It's a level 200 session. But I think it's probably one of the most important sessions that you'll ever see. Not just for you, but also for your kids, for your workmates. If you're involved in law enforcement, I have a number of versions of this particular session that I deliver for law enforcement and also military customers as well. So I like to give love. So the way I give love is I have a SkyDrive, and it's packed with absolutely everything. So all my links, all the web pages that I'm doing, so you don't need to take any notes because literally I've got notes on the slide decks, all the videos, not the music unfortunately, but all the funny videos and the sad videos and everything that you see will be in there. Who am I? Well, this session, first of all, is a journey to the dark side of social networking. It's important as people, as parents, as employees to understand that social networking has brought immeasurable benefits over the years. So some of these facts you may agree with, some of them you may disagree with, but the fact is they're facts. Okay? So whether you like them or not, unfortunately it's just one of those things. Hello, how are you? Do you want to sit over here in the front? No, I won't take the mickey out of you, I promise. Okay, so who am I? My name is Andy Malone. I've been speaking at TechEd now for about 7 years, on and off. On top of that, I work alongside Paula. We have an event called the Cybercrime Security Forum. We're running one in Belgium in October, I believe. But we're running one in Oslo in November, and possibly one either in Prague, Moscow, or where was the other place? Poland, Warsaw. We're trying to decide which city, but you'll see us around. Cybercrimesecurityforum.org is the website there. So this is not about tools, and I'm sure many of you went to Paula's session earlier, if your brains are still intact. This is not about tools, this is not about hacking. I'm a people person. See? People person, yes? So anybody want to lend me their credit card, it will be fine. But, you know, I want to do a little demonstration. Would you help me out with this little demonstration, yeah? Would you help me? Okay, I would like everybody in the room, please, to stand. Could you stand for me, please? Everybody stand. Everybody, even on the floor. I'm watching you, I know where you are, especially at the side. Okay, what I'd like to do is we need an identity token. So already, I can see you've got one round your neck. Yes, we've all got these nice badges. I'd like you to take it off. I'd like to turn to the person, probably to your right, turn to the person to your right, and swap badges. Yeah? Swap badges, seriously. Swap badges. So the person to your right, swap badges. And I would like you now to turn to the person to your right and swap badges again. That's how easy it is to lose your identity. Can you not feel the anxiety? I can see some of you have gone very, very pale looking. But you see, now if you think about it, that's just in this room with one or two people. Can you appreciate now what's involved on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn? Okay, by the way, sign up to my Twitter account. Okay, you can swap your badges back now. I can't remember who had it. Okay, you swap badges. Just before you swap badges, what to do is just feel inside, and if they've still got that surface token, keep it. Yeah. Okay, so, this session contains a government health warning. This session contains a few bits of bad language. Ooh, in a Microsoft presentation. How dare you? So I have to put this disclaimer in here. Unfortunately, I was going to cut it out, but when you see it, you think it's funny. Initially, it always gets a laugh, but then you suddenly realize that the kid is only 11, and then it's not funny. And that's the reason. And I wanted, I think it kind of adds to the impact of it. So if you start editing stuff, it just kind of ruins it. So this is the agenda for the day. I'm not going to go through that because you can read, I'm quite sure. So we're going to talk first of all about the rise of what we call the socio-technical society. This has been going on now a little while. And if you go back probably 20 years ago, many of you can remember that. Well, maybe some of you can't. I don't know. 20 years ago, you know, you were kids. You went on, you know, you went outside. You went to the street. If you were a teenager, you went to the pub. You went to a nightclub. You met people. We didn't have the internet like we have today. We didn't have social networking like we do today. We used to talk to people. We used to pick up the phone. And now people don't pick up the phone. They text. Okay. And if you're really lucky, they sext. So, but generally text or sex, either way, it's all through text messaging communication. So kind of maybe as a species, we've kind of lost something there. Now, there's no doubt that this society has brought some amazing advantages, okay? And we're going to talk about some of those advantages, but we'll also talk about kind of the disadvantages of it as well. So Facebook, for example, from 0 to 1 billion in 11 years. Wow, that is incredible, isn't it? 1 billion users. You know, if that was, that's more, if that was a nation, that would be like the fourth largest country on the planet right now. That is absolutely incredible. Actually, figures have actually shown that Facebook numbers now are starting to fall away. Actually, more so in Western Europe than other parts of the world, strangely enough. Maybe it's the advertising, who knows? But this concept of making friends and meeting people that you've never met before is alluring for some people. Some people are loners, some people are more extrovert. So when we start looking about the figures, the numbers of pages, we call it the Internet Minute. So if you look at this, there are literally billions of searches, billions of transactions going on every single minute of every day. So what does this tell you? Well, this tells us, first of all, we are relying on technology. We are putting our lives at risk of technology. So the way we do business, the way we conduct law enforcement, the way we conduct military operations, we're conducting this through the internet. Now, that sounds interesting, but again, what happens if you don't have the internet? So we have a group of people who are growing up now, kids, your kids, teenagers, and so on, that have never known anything but the internet. They don't know what it was like before. So it's like a complete new species of human being in the way that we communicate. So Facebook is just one of many, many social networks. There are social networks for absolutely everything. So you probably know the main ones, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, MySpace. But there are hundreds, in fact, thousands more. Now, there are good ones, and there are also dark places to go. So yesterday, I spoke about the dark web. So the dark web is kind of the lots and lots of underground websites. So there are chat rooms. There is a Facebook equivalent, if you like, for the sex trade. There is a Facebook equivalent for pedophiles. And this goes on every day. There's good stuff and there's bad stuff. So the dark web, it's actually been measured, and it's now approximately 3 times the size of the internet. So being anonymous, you probably think, has its benefits. But at what point do you say enough is enough? So the question is, I have for you, Is this a revolution? Is this a revolution, the way that we're moving forward? I mean, human beings have always been sociable. We've always wanted to meet people, whether it be in a pub, whether it be in a restaurant, whatever. But some people are very shy. Some of you might be shy. You don't like to meet people. You're one of these wallflowers. This is a fantastic way of making new friends. Put my teeth back in. However, are we powerless to stop this? And more importantly, who is controlling this? So at the moment, the industry is very much dominated by corporates. So we all speak here this week. I've spoken many times about security. And I've delivered sessions to military and law enforcement customers, and they're paranoid about security. Only recently, the US military started allowing Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, purely because, why? Because you are powerless to stop it. It's not revolution, my friends. This is evolution. And one thing that we've learned about evolution is that you can't stop evolution. Okay? It just happens. So rather than controlling it, it's now maybe perhaps time to start managing it. Thank you. So what is a social network? Well, a social network's been around since the days of the Egyptians, the Toltecs, the Romans. A social network is nothing new. But what makes it different, what makes this unique, is that now you can be everywhere instantly. And just think about that for a moment. You stood there and without any guidance from anybody, without any thought, you gave your identity away. Okay? You gave it away. And what's worse, you had no control of where that was going. So just think for a moment what you're doing on a social network. Is it about numbers? Hey, I've got more followers than anybody else. Is it about that? Yeah, I don't know who they are, but they're my friends. So it's amazing how many times I come to a conference like this, and I'll give you my Twitter. Yeah, I tweet all the time. I don't go to my blog. It sucks, by the way. I tweet all the time. That's what I do. But what I don't do is some people then say, Andy, can we link into you? Yes, that's okay. It's a business network. It's fine. But I also get Facebook requests. So don't be offended if I don't respond to your Facebook request. Facebook is personal to me. Okay? And that's the way you've got to manage it. You've got to say, is it a personal tool or is it a business tool? That's your decision. Okay. So, again, when you start looking at the psychology and the sociology behind a social network, it comes back to two factors. As human beings, we have needs. Whether they be love needs, whether they be sexual needs, whether they be friendship needs. But as a human being, one of the things that makes us quite unique is the social aspect of us. We want to be part of a social group. Okay? Remember when you were kids, you know, there was a little group of kids that were all buddies and friends and you were out on your own. You would have done anything to be part of that group. That group were wearing Abercrombie and Fitch tops. You've better go and get an Abercrombie and Fitch top because you want to actually be part of that group. Thanks, Abercrombie and Fitch. You owe me $20. Another aspect. How many times now have people... Can I just have a quick raise of hands? Who's not on a social network? Just have a look around the room there. Keep your hands up. Yeah? These are the faces of sad people, okay? These are lonely people. No, I'm joking. I'm pulling your leg, okay?
No, nobody's going to get my details.
Okay. But the thing about that, that's a good practice. And I kind of put my hand up to that and say, hey, great. But the problem with that is if you don't put your identity out there, at the moment, what's to stop me doing it for you? What's to stop me taking control of that and manipulating that? Not very much. So, the social and the psychological aspects of a social network. The need to believe, the need to belong to something. That's, again, very, very important. I mentioned that it does have benefits. Of course it does. You know, you want to do business. Hey, what a great way to get your product or your service out there. Yeah, friends, let's be friends. Let's like a page. It's a fantastic business opportunity. Now, whether you actually advertise on the social network, that's a different matter. I'm talking about liking a page. So this has probably become an incredibly powerful marketing tool over the years. However, here, Robert Maxwell, poor guy, social networks can also be a nightmare for you. So a social network, if you say something, if you post something, you know, as soon as you hit that enter button, you can't take it back. You know, I posted something once on Twitter, and as soon as I hit the enter button, I thought, oh, crap, I've got to stop that. And I actually went in and deleted the tweet, and I had 25 emails within a minute to say, why did you delete that message? And that was amazing. The other thing that social networking brings is plausible deniability. Well, I didn't post it. I didn't have anything to do with that. Especially if you're a corporate or a military or an organization or somebody of responsibility. You can go and post something and, you know, we don't know where that post came from. There was a leak. Yes, somebody posted something, but we don't know who it is. Very interesting. So we have the business moral dilemma. Do we spill our hearts and souls, or do we manage it? Okay, that's really what we're talking about here. How do you confront the situation in a crisis? How do you manage the connections? Okay, so again, important stuff. There is actual evidence, as I've just said, that perhaps it's evolution. I said this is evolution. And maybe, just maybe, we're starting to move beyond this type of social network. Maybe it's not evolution at all. Maybe it's a blip. It's a fashion. It's a fad. Yes? And maybe something else will come along. Google Glass, perhaps. Oh, God forbid you wouldn't get me in one of those. Okay. So, interesting. Now, so when we talk about the social networking, we talk about the benefits, the pros and the cons and so on. But when we try and educate our kids, they need to know about some of the potential dangers. And these are just some of them. This is a German advert that's been very funnily, there's a funny voiceover, but I think you'll get the message.
Schmidt, Peters, Jansen, Hermanns. Is your son home?
Yes, he's up in his room. Come in.
Hi, is Kevin here?
Yeah, upstairs.
Well then, we'll go up.
Good location. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Is this little Anna?
In real life, you'd protect your children. So why not protect them on the internet? Get involved. Get Webwise. Visit Webwise on Facebook.
I love that. Go to Webwise on Facebook. I thought that was quite interesting. So when I first saw that ad, that paedophile at the end, that's kind of creepy. That kind of creeps you out. So is social networking, what lies beneath? Okay, so is it a wolf in sheep's clothing? So there are, of course, technical threats in social networks. There are threats not just to kids. There are threats to you, threats to me. Whether you're male or female, irrespective of what job you do, irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what language you speak, it doesn't really matter, because now we can translate everything. And as I've shown over the last few days, getting information from you is very, very easy. And we all have a digital footprint. Maybe we're going to come to the point where that digital footprint will be our Achilles heel. Maybe we'll get to that point where, and I read recently, even Eric Schmidt said a couple of years ago, that you're going to have kids of today. I was delivering sessions in the US for the US Army, and we were doing some sessions like this, and there was one kid got up in the room and he said he had 3,200 friends on Facebook. How can you possibly have that number of friends on Facebook? I mean, I do, but, you know, him. Okay, you were a bit slow on that one there. So, when you start looking at the threats to individuals, you're talking about cyberbullies, and that was a really disturbing video I showed just before the session. Now, if you didn't see it, don't worry, it's in my SkyDrive, you can get it. But I found that really disturbing. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of suicides a year because of cyberbullying. And only last month in the UK, a 7-year-old committed suicide purely because of being cyberbullied. Trolls, file sharing abuses, threats to personal safety, spam, phishing attacks. Of course, they're trying to get money from you. Well, we've kind of exhausted that side, I think. This is not about that, but again, that's an area that you need to be sure of. And of course, things like threats to computers, viruses, malware, and so on. But it's really the first one that I'm concerned about, the threats to individuals. And to be honest, we're starting to see an emergence of creepy technologies. And although, you know, they're nice, they're convenient, they could be useful, they could also be used in kind of disturbing ways as well. So you'll recognize this, and I'm not just talking about this particular app. I'm talking about lots of apps. But Recognizer is an interesting tool. So if anybody downloads it here, you can literally point it to somebody, and it will bring up their social profile and their social network. And if you've not set your privacy on your social network, I know where you are. I know where you live. I know what you look like. Yeah, that can be quite disturbing. And of course, Recognizer, you can take it from photos as well. You can be in an airport. You can be literally anywhere with this. BMI, who are no longer BMI, but part of British Airways now, they, I think, actually Lufthansa have started offering this service as well. So you can be on a plane. Who's on the plane with you? Let's see. Okay, this is kind of creepy technology. And the thing about social networking is, what's the difference between stalking and cyber-stalking? So we can see that a stalker, if anybody's seen Friends, remember the Phoebe episode? Yes, you know, if somebody was stalking you, they would be watching you like this. But doing it online, of course, you have kind of no control over that. And they can actually do a lot more damage. So the question is, the one on the right, it's socially acceptable. It's okay. And that is just a little creepy for me. I can see some of you are nodding, oh, I know that app, yes. So this is Girls Around Me, okay? So if you're a single guy, you're downtown, hey, you know, which single girls are around me? Yes, that's a little disturbing, that one. This is also an interesting one. Geotagging. Geotagging's been out a little while. Most modern cameras have the capability. And we all know what metadata is, or exif data. And essentially, if I had a document, you might put the name of the author, the location, the date, when you created the document. But what we don't realize, especially with modern cell phones, is what does it have? GPS. So every cell phone has GPS. And it's not just the military that can track it. It's kind of creepy pedophiles that can track you as well. So when we talk about geotagging, more and more cameras have this capability. If you're concerned about geotagging, this is something you can disable on the camera's system or on your mobile phone. So it records, interestingly, it records exactly where you are, but also there is tracking software that shows exactly where you've been. Now, I don't have time to show that video. It's a little controversial, the video. This is the reason I'm not showing it. But I'm going to include it in the downloads. So if you look at it, it's got nothing to do with me, right? Plausible deniability. But it's very, very interesting. And what it does, it takes a complete random stranger, it takes a picture of him, searches for that image online, and we can then actually trace him, and you can see his behavior patterns, which train he gets every morning, which restaurants he eats in, where he works, what time he goes to work. Very, very creepy technology. Perfect, by the way, for law enforcement, but creepy for everybody else. So I've got a little demo, and these are just some of the kind of tools that are out there. So I've got two sets of browsers open here. I'm just going to use this one first, because the app actually looks better in here. This is Jeffrey's EXIF browser. And you can either search for an image. So if you've put an image on Facebook or an image anywhere, I can go in and search this. Now, remember Facebook, by the way, if you post any images to Flickr or Facebook or these so-called public services, you lose the rights on that picture. So it assumes that anything that you post on a social network, that network has exclusive 100% rights to own, copy, distribute anything in that picture. Likewise, if you're doing business with somebody on LinkedIn and you happen to talk about the secret, or you include an attachment on the document talking about your incredible medicine that you've designed or the incredible component for your computer, and you suddenly find that in China, then you've got no legal comeback because you posted it on a public site. That's quite scary. So let's just have a quick look at geotagging. So what I'll do is I am going to just go here. I've got some security stuff here. I've got some pictures here. Let's just zoom in a little bit. Okay, here's Paula. You know Paula, right? We're very good friends. So if I open up the properties of this particular picture, you can see that I've got a number of details. And what makes it really interesting is, you know, you've got all the usual stuff here, but it also tells you what type of device took the photo, how, you know, where it was taken, the date and time that it was taken, and more importantly, the longitude and latitude, and also the altitude the picture was taken. So this is why recently in Boston, when we had the Boston bombing, you know, with the waste paper bins at the there, this is why they were they actually picked up the bad guys so quickly. Purely because of the pictures, the photos. They had the date, the time, the coordinates, and they could literally pin it down to the second when the crime happened. So so once you have a picture, and I'll bet you most of you guys post pictures online all the time, I bet you don't take that information out, right? So I can then go and say, right, let's view that image. So I'm just going to go here. Which one will I choose? Here's Paula. And I will say, let's view that image from the file. And remember, this is not a government application. This is just a free thing. So can you imagine what the government systems can do here? Or law enforcement? There's some great features. So, first of all, here's the picture. That's exactly where we were. And if anybody's from Seattle, you'll recognize that. That's Century Field in Seattle. So it gives you an awful lot of information. So the date, the time, the location, when that was taken, the latitude, the longitude, what type of device took it, the composites, the information. Incredible detail. So forensically, this to me is really, really interesting. Okay? So from a forensics perspective, this is great stuff. In terms of finding information, of course, Google is your best friend. So you can, Bing is your best friend, okay? So literally, you can do an advanced Google search, and I'm sure many of you have seen advanced Google searches. So if I just say site, let's say com, and I'll say file type, and I'll say, okay, XLS, and I'll say, what should we say? I'll say membership list. Okay, so I can go ahead, and you can see that we now have a whole list of Excel spreadsheets. So when we open up the membership list, let's just open that up. You can see lots and lots of personal and private personal information here. So I've got an email address now. And of course, I'm just doing this on a random com domain. So if you did this, if you think about it, on a specific company, or once you've got a specific email address, this makes it really, really interesting. You know, actually, I'm just going to change this for a second. Let's say mil. PDF. Classified. So, there is stupid people that put stuff online. There you go. So, some classified documents. Clearly, it shouldn't be in there. So, that's, again, Google. Now, if you want to do it a little bit more interesting, you've got this site as well. So this is a site called TouchGraph. Nice little feature, and you can put any name in. So if you're stalking your person, all you need is a name. So Paula, you'll excuse me if I don't type in your second name. Januszkiewicz. I'll just put my own name in, okay? So. Now, of course, the chances are there's probably quite a few Andy Malones. So I'll just say Andy Malone MVP. And off it goes. And essentially what this tool does, it's a deep search engine. So it's looking for every digital footprint that I have. And it literally scours the internet. Do you guys want to move in the middle so you can see? Are you okay there? Yeah? So it literally scours the internet, and you can obviously then drill down into all of these areas, and you can see I get the details, Twitter. I can again go in and see what's actually being posted, and the thing is you can go in further and further and further and further, and you can really drill down. That's a very interesting tool, by the way. Other things that we've got here, this is, if you want to know what the deep search tools are, you definitely need to go to this tool. This is Internet Tools and Resources for Open Source Intelligence. Now, on top of this, you get all the usual kind of web searching types of tools. And this is like general intelligence. Then you start getting your kind of really deep stuff. So the kind of really deep Google searches. So if you want to search for, very, very specific information, birth certificates on people and so on. Then there's a number of visualization tools that you get. But this is when it gets really interesting. There's also, you can come down right down here, and there's some really deep people searches. So, I mean, if you're trying to track someone, and remember, if you've got a social kind of network, this is really, really dangerous here. I mean, we're talking background checks, criminal records, banking records. We're talking everything here. And you can see, I can search not just by names, I can also search by images, video. Remember, whatever videos you post belongs to the company. It doesn't belong to you. You lose those rights. Countries, and then it starts getting really interesting. Then it starts getting into military, intelligence, law enforcement, engines. So this is probably the most definitive source for the deepest search engine in the world. Okay? Absolutely fantastic site. All right. So that being that, this particular website is interesting. Now, you probably read all about Ed Snowden recently and the internet. Now, this is a site. Let me just show you here, because this is one I've kind of pre-configured. This is called Recorded Future. And what this does, it looks for, it's a little bit like, this is kind of the commercial version of Prism, if you will. Okay? So if you want to really go deep on intelligence. Now, the one I'm signed into is Security and National Defense, but you can see there are other options here as well. There's like business and marketing, sales, and that kind of stuff. So there's a number of markets that this company actually work with. And the only one I've signed into here is my cyber intelligence, law enforcement here. So you can see here DARPA, the Defense Agency Research Project. I've got the European Union, the North Korean threat, for example. Analyzing protests in Turkey, who's causing it, what are they arguing about? So again, a lot of these are kind of national intelligence type things. So if I go into the Defense Agency Research Project here, and essentially what this does, it looks for relationships. So it looks for every single relationship, every single company. And within that company, you can go deep into a kind of individuals as well. So this is a really, really powerful feature. And you can also use this for Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. So if I choose a specific target and I want to kind of go deep on you and find out information on you, I can find out who you are, where you live, who your friends are, what your birthday is, what school you went to. I can find out your address, your location, pictures, everything. So I've got that complete kind of history of who you are. So this is pretty scary stuff. And the thing is, yourselves are to blame for this, because you're increasing your digital footprint. You're giving your privacy away to individual, smaller companies. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's posted. I'm going to do this quick, but this is a complete list of names and addresses that are British National Party memberships. So, you know, the radical group. Again, so somebody feels that, hey, let's collect all of that information using that tool and post it online and make it viewable and visible to somebody. So I've got the photo. Remember, I've got the photo? So from that photo, I've now extrapolated the postcode or the zip code to that photo. So this particular site here is called Check My File. And Check My File tells me all a little bit about the area. I can even go into Google Street, and I can find out, you know, what the salaries are, who the people are, the neighbors, what the crime rate is. And I can find out, I can do a full postcode search, and from this, I can also go into social networking records and lots and lots of stuff. Now, on top of that, of course, I can then do a people search and do a background check on you. So if you've got any kind of criminal records, if you've got any nasty little secrets, these types of tools will find it. And again, a lot of this is generated because of the deep web. And from that, of course, so once I know who you are, and once I know where you live, then I can start thinking about, okay, how am I going to contact you? So I've already been spying on you. I can then use tools like caller ID spoofing so that you have no idea where I'm coming in from. Again, you may also want to host and be anonymous. So if you are a bad guy, this is the kind of the bad place a bad guy might go and host his site or start communicating. So very interesting websites. Okay, so okay, so that's just how easy it is to find out where somebody is. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to go there. So the threats lurking inside social media. Poor, may I say, no compliance, no legal compliance. The problem with the social media industry at the moment is the law is starting to kind of move into gear. But again, it's been very, very slow. Weak identity controls. So at the moment, most websites, I believe Twitter is starting to move to multi-factor authentication, so is Microsoft, and it's nice. Plausible deniability, gross misuse of technology. So these are all some of the issues. Again, you've got the technical aspects, which Paula spoke about. So social media attacks are definitely on the rise. And of course, you receive a message from a friend or click here to join this group, and before you know it, you've decided to play a game and you've downloaded some nasty malware. This is another little tool. Again, this is a deep engine tool. I actually tried to get this tool working here, but I'm having a problem with their website. So this is a kind of a screen-cammed little demo. This is a tool called BiddyBlah. It's a free tool. And basically, it does much more than what I'm showing you here. So again, this is a great security tool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going into here. I'm going to add in a domain name. You can see you can look for subdomains, email addressing. If you're using tools like Nessus, it's got a number of modules that it can link into. And you can also target specific types of attacks as well. So what I'm doing is I'm going in and I'm going to type in, I always use my local government near where I live. I live in a place called Stirling in Scotland. And they're just so bad at security, I just like to use them as an example. So I've got stirling.gov.uk. And what this is doing, you can see it's actually filtering and it's showing me all their DNS servers. And this is an official government site. Now I'm going to say, okay, I want to find all the subdomains. And what I want to do is I want to extract all the email addresses from those domains. And it will go now, and it will literally just start pulling thousands and thousands of email addresses from those sites. And of course, if you've got the name of a specific person, and you're trying to get a little bit of industrial espionage, this is an absolutely fantastic tool. Of course, you can then select that, and you can then use that for spam, malware, whatever you want. So the social network for you could be your Achilles heel. Be very, very careful what you say. Be very, very careful what you post. And remember, not everyone wants to be your friend.
Meeting a teen girl online is actually pretty easy. You can go into any chat room and just start talking. Most of the girls are usually so insecure and desperate for
attention from older guys is totally flattering. They're so much more mature and understanding than the guys my
age. Age actually works to my advantage. They like to brag to their friends that they're dating an older guy, so I just play along and pretend I'm really
interested in the same things I am. You can talk forever and really get to know someone without worrying about looks or whatever. That's the best thing about
chatting. Chatting seems unthreatening to them, so they lower their guard. After a while, I start talking about how we're soulmates and how lucky we are to have found each other.
Other people don't understand. I know what I'm doing. If you really care about each other, there's nothing wrong with me.
Meeting them is the goal. Once I get them out of their house, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
Interesting. One of the fastest growing areas, and one of the things that I feel very passionate about, I'm an advocate for it, actually, and you probably saw that in the video at the beginning, is I'm very much against cyberbullying. Why? Because I knew, I had a friend and his son committed suicide because he was cyberbullied. So I have some kind of personal affinity with this. And cyberbullying is something that you don't think is going on. Your child, of course, bullying in the old days, they might just have fisticuffs. But cyberbullying is very, very concerning because it could be going on and you wouldn't even see it. But what you've got to look out for is kind of subtle changes in behavior of your kids. So if they're not eating right, sleeping habits and so on. There's some very, very good white papers on it. And again, I'm going to include those in my SkyDrive. So if you're parents and you're concerned, then again, I would urge you to have a look. There's some websites here as well. So cyberbullying is very, very interesting. So spotting the problem, I mean, it can go as far as sleeping habits, eating habits, but it can also manifest itself into things like self-mutilation, cuts, and so on. So again, as a parent, it's something that you need to be aware of and you need to monitor, okay? So things like, it's amazing how many people have, we've all got PCs, we've got devices everywhere now. Your kids have got, do you know, I had an iPhone. My contract was up, and for the last 6 months, my daughter has been saying to me, Dad, can I get the iPhone? Dad, can I get the iPhone? Before that, she just had a little normal mobile phone. Can I get the phone? Sorry, I should have said, can I get the Windows phone? she didn't say that, she said the iPhone, sorry. So, she, for 6 months, she's been badgering me for the iPhone. And I'm sure many of you can maybe go, yeah, we know what you mean. I give her the iPhone, do you know, it's like a change of personality. You know, it's a change of personality. She's on social networks. She's not on Facebook or anything, but they've got like a, there's a little tool called Message Me, and it's like a little group thing where they can create groups of their friends. And already I'm seeing, you know, she's adding kids in her class and some of the language coming back, the photos and some of, you know, and I'm going, right, no, we need to stop this and we need to, you know, be aware of this. So again, be very careful, especially with modern mobile phones. That is a gateway, okay? So just be aware of that. So cyberbullying has probably seen an enormous growth worldwide. And don't be fooled into thinking that this won't affect you or your family. It seriously does. Okay, so it basically affects millions of children and adults across the world. So, well, you know, you might think, oh, you know, it won't affect me. So it can be as simple as, you know, your boss, you know, threatening you. You will work overtime. That's cyberbullying. It might be sexting or something like that. I'd be so lucky. So basically the law seems very weak in this area. Up until now, things are starting to change. But one of my great concerns is not bullying, it's the next level. These guys are called cyber trolls or trolls. And the internet trolls, you think, hey, they're going to be kids and they're going to, you know, they just do it for a little bit of fun. These guys are out to invoke a reaction. So sometimes positive, but more often a negative reaction. They'll, you know, so if somebody, something happens, you might just see this person starting typing, oh, she was ugly anyway, trying to invoke a reaction. Now, again, trolling actually is becoming a real issue. There's even a song, there's websites for these guys. But these guys are not kids. They're not teenagers. These are grown men. In many cases, very, very disturbed people. Again, there are a number of articles. Tom Daley, last year in the Olympic Games, he suffered quite a bit of abuse from a troll. And that troll has been fined £5,000 because of what he said about Tom's father. Tom's father unfortunately died, and he posted some rather nasty messages about it. So this is nasty guy here. There are different types of trolls. So what we have is we basically have the first type, playtime trolls. Playtime trolls are just fairly blatant and you would know who they are. They just basically trying to invoke a little reaction. And it basically, you know, really doesn't go any further. If they don't get a reaction, they kind of won't go on. Then you've got the more tactical troll. So somebody that's actually identified you in a group and they've decided that they want to go after you for some kind of reasons, okay? Strategic, okay? So basically, strategic trolls, these are probably the worst type because this abuse can actually last for weeks, months, sometimes even years. There are a number of cases in the US especially where this has become a real issue. Of course, then you get the domination troll, the ones who try and control you. And then, of course, the worst type are the psycho trolls. This is when these guys become dangerous. They start threatening behavior, violence, and so on. One such case occurred with this young lady, Jessica Linehart, otherwise known as Jessie Slaughter. Now, I'm not going to show you the first video because the language is quite obscene. But in the video, she basically says she's basically getting bullied by friends at school. And the bullying goes on and on and on and on. And she's getting quite upset. And she basically, of course, in the US, it's very much this kind of gun culture. And so she blurts out. She says, "Hey, you're bullying me. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm prettier than you. And if you say anything about me, I'm going to stick a Glock in your mouth and make a brain slushy out of it." So the internet went suddenly viral. This went viral. Her videos, she posted them on Google, on YouTube. You can go and see them, go view them on YouTube. So this went viral. And basically, a group of trolls came together, and they made her life hell. I mean, we're talking ordering 50 pizzas a day and getting them delivered to her house. We're talking denial of service attacks. We're talking about physical abuse. We're talking about threats. It made her life a nightmare. A nightmare. Now, when you first see the first few seconds of this, you think, hey, it's really quite funny. But then think about it again, will you? Just think about this for a second. She's 11 years old.
Okay, you guys, this is Jessie Slaughter.
You know what?
I just want to say that you guys have ruined my life.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is from her father. You bunch of lying, no good punks. And I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it. Jeez. And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police and the state police.
Right.
So you better write one more thing or screw with my computer again. You'll be arrested. Any conversation from her father. And if you come near my daughter, guess what? Consequences will never be the same. You lying bunch of pricks.
See, my house has been like this ever since everybody's been posting stuff about me, okay? I am personally torn.
I live in PC.
I am torn. I have been having emotional breakdowns one after another. For the past, like,
you've been sleeping,
you can't eat. You guys are just basically tearing me apart right now. I am crying my eyes out, if you haven't noticed that. This is just so pathetic. You guys are ruining my fucking
The result of that, by the way, quite distressing, actually, and there's worse than that. There was another case that I was going to show you, but unfortunately it was a trolling case, and it's where the girl committed suicide. She threw herself on a train line because she was cyberbullied. And that was really quite disturbing. I didn't kind of want to go too far there. But hopefully you got the idea. It's a real and present danger, I would say. So one of the things, first of all, you need to basically identify that there is a problem with cyberbullying or trolling. So remember, before, I know the writing is very small here, but don't worry, you'll have all the slides anyway. So just kind of good advice. Before you trust somebody, and as I said yesterday, we're very, very quick to trust. We're very, very quick to trust somebody, especially on the internet, especially standing in a room full of people and handing your badge to somebody that you've never known. Okay? So if you can hand your badge away here, just think about what you're doing on the internet. And you can see, once I have your identity, believe me, I can find everything out about you. Everything. Okay? There is no hiding place. Okay? So good advice. The longer you communicate with these people, the more they try and invoke a reaction from you, you're going to have issues. So what you have to do is you have to stop it. You have to recognize it as a parent. You have to recognize this, that this is a particular type of abuse and it has to be stopped. You may need to get law enforcement involved here. Again, the dark side of social media, there's a link in the slide. It's a great white paper and it's really, really good advice on how to deal with that type of abuse. Now, another problem with social networking, and I know that you'll laugh, is social networking addiction. This has now been identified as a real addiction. You are addicted to social networks. Right now, many of you are sat in the room going, I've got to check my mail. Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? We're addicted to phones, right? Phones, yes? Already, you look at you, I can see you, you're wondering where your phone is. You're like, oh, I'm losing. And trust me, you put it on the counter there and it's calling to you. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I need you. Isn't it amazing? 20 years ago, we didn't have that. 20 years ago or 25 years ago, we'd go to a phone box and make a phone call. But now, don't leave me. I need you. Yes? We've got this sudden need. We don't let our kids out. We better take a phone. Why do I need a phone? Just in case. In case something happens. You know, we don't trust. We're living in fear. So, again, social networking addiction is a real issue. So, again, you know, you may want to check yourself into a clinic at some point. okay, now we come to the privacy dilemma. Well, you know, I don't see that there's a dilemma at all. I mean, you know, the National Security Agency provide a very good backup and monitoring service for them. So, you know, what's the problem, you know? But privacy. The thing about the privacy with social networks, though, is you can't complain because you're controlling it. You've got the power to control a social network. Okay? You've got the power to stop it and to close it down and to have them delete. However, you'll find that in many terms and conditions, if they delete the content, they could still potentially use the backup data. So if there's any kind of ideas, pictures, any kind of movies or anything like that, they could still use that. So be very, very careful when you post something online. And this is a great piece of advice.
Oh, man.
Once you post your image online, you can't take it back. Anyone can see it. Family, friends, anyone. Remember, think before you post.
And the problem with that is, hey, that sounds great. Great, but the problem is, we're not even in control of it anymore. Because many of you have taken a picture of me today. Hey, just make sure you get my good side, okay? But many of you have taken a picture of me today, and maybe people in the booths and around TechEd. And you go and post that. What's the first thing you do? You maybe tag it, okay? I don't have any control over that. So as parents, you know, your kids' friends have got phones. They're taking pictures. They're posting them online. You've lost control. That's how easy it is to lose control here. So again, this was actually an experiment. This was the most tagged people. It's the Guinness Book of Records, by the way. This is the most tagged people in the world. And every one of these faces is tagged on Facebook. And they actually signed an agreement to saying that they can do it. But just think about it. At a football match, any kind of sports match where there's people in a crowd, even here, if I took a picture of you now and posted that, I could probably tag all of your faces. I would know who you are. I could track you down. And the biggest, one of the newest technologies, of course, now, is facial recognition. So satellites in orbit have all been upgraded. HD definition. They don't just zoom in on your car. They zoom in on your number plate, on your face. Facial recognition. So think Jack Bauer in 24 and you won't be far away. I don't know if you've had a look. I'm just using Facebook as an example, by the way. They're all the same. I'm not choosing Facebook because I'm picking on them. It's just that they're a good example. But if you go into LinkedIn, Twitter, Tumblr, any of these, Instagram, that's a great one, by the way. If you go into any of these, have a look at their privacy settings. Their privacy settings change every day. But this, in essence, this is basically what it looks like. So LinkedIn, additionally, you grant LinkedIn worldwide, exclusive, workable, perpetual, submitted assignments, fully paid up loyalty, free rights to use, prepared, work, change, anything, your information. So LinkedIn basically own any of the content that you post on LinkedIn. Facebook, they're even better. You hereby grant Facebook an irrevocable, perpetual, non-exclusive, transferable, fully paid, worldwide license with the right to sub-license, copy, publish, stream, store, retain, publicly perform, display, transmit, scan, anything that you put in Facebook. When was the last time you read a EULA? Maybe it's time you changed. Maybe it's time that you took a look at this. So regulators now are starting to pay attention to this. Privacy is becoming a big issue. So again, controlling communications on social networking sites is obviously very difficult. So I put it to you that it's maybe time to start managing them. If you try and control social networking, it's proven that it actually doesn't work. But the problem with it is, unlike email, you can control and manage email, but the social networking, because it's just everywhere, it's very, very difficult. So you can see here the US has done a thing, the Deleting Online Predators Act, or DOPA, and of course we've got SOPA, DOPA, there's so many different acts in the US, but also the European Union are actually coming forward some good stuff as well. Also, things like compliance. Again, I've put some web pages in, and I've also put some white papers. So if you're interested in compliance and privacy, again, there's some stuff there as well. So there's, basically, it's very, very important. Go to the Facebook site. Review your privacy settings, especially for your kids and your families. Very important that you do that. Now, this is a... I'm just picking on this particular video because I found it interesting, but pretty much it's the same everywhere, but it pretty much gets the message across.
Online, you really are who you say you are. The things you say or write take on a life of their own. They form your identity. But the social networking sites where we express ourselves don't just focus on individuals. Instead, they make their money repackaging user data into trends and patterns. Personal data has become a hot commodity, and social sites are the public face of a much larger commercial operation. Knowing your hometown, your favorite TV show, or your politics is where the money is. And once information is added to the database, users have little control. Check out one such user agreement. By posting user content to any part of the site, you automatically grant the company an irrevocable, perpetual, non-exclusive, transferable, fully paid worldwide license to use, copy, publicly perform, display, reformat, translate, excerpt such user content for any purpose. So on social sites, it isn't really all about you, but your data. Businesses trade in the information that we enter, what we like and where we live, and what our interests are. Then advertisers can target us for products. Today's technology makes social sites a gold mine of information for marketing companies, or political interest groups, or potential employers. As data about you is shared, what will it mean? How about more catalogs on your doorstep? Or more email adverts in your inbox? Maybe even more questions during your next job interview? The ways that personal information can be used, repackaged, and sold are virtually limitless. And as social sites become more popular, every time you add more data about yourself, it's as though you're answering a survey. And on the basis of that information, others will make decisions about you, about your employability, about your work ethic, about your other preferences. All without your knowledge or consent or ever actually having been asked. So next time you update your information online, ask yourself some tough questions first. For more information, please visit the website of the Office of the Privacy Commissioner of Canada.
Yeah, but it's whether it's Canada or not. But you'll find that that type of commercial is there for everybody. So the European Union has a very good one. Germany has got a very good one. So a couple of warning things that we've spotted there. Oversharing information, company activities, corporate activities can be very dangerous and also very useful for cyber spies. Avoid mixing personal and professional, certainly in things like Facebook. Okay? Decide on which one you're going to use as your professional kind of image and which one you're going to use as your personal image. Just remember as well, if you delete your Facebook account or if you delete your LinkedIn account, if it's archived data, they can retain that and still use that. So again, just be aware of that. Avoid password sloth. Don't use the same passwords for all your networking, all your social networking sites. And again, don't put things like birthdays, phone numbers. Never put this type of information in social networking sites. This can be very, very dangerous. I hope you enjoyed it. We've still got a couple of minutes. And this is quite a hot topic, this. I would be really interested, not necessarily on questions, but if you've got things like comments or experiences. I'm going to bring up that slide. Please go to @AndyMalone, Twitter. You can get all my content. Now, just before we finish, the one thing I would say is please give us some feedback on the session as well. Do we have anybody who would like to make a comment or a question? You don't need to get out your seat. We've got people with mics. So if you want to ask a question, please raise your hand and we'll send somebody with a microphone to you. Or have I just scared the crap out of you? Oh, we've got somebody over here? Yes.
Okay, first thing I want to say, thanks for the great presentation.
Great.
And the first question what pops into my mind is, who's feeling really bad or guilty about what they post online after listening to this great speaker?
Yeah, who's feeling guilty? I feel guilty all the time, but I'm very, very conscious of what I post. I never kind of post personal family material. Somebody else?
Okay, here I am. Okay, sorry for my horrible English. I was a little bit scared about the possibility that they have to store your content even though you delete your account. Has it ever happened so far that someone has complained about Facebook or other social network having used their content? Has it ever happened?
Yes, there has. There was a case where two developers at Facebook actually sold on data. They actually sold private data underhand. They were fired because of it, but they sold on data. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're just about rounding things up. I'll take questions offline. Please fill in the evaluation. And just remember one thing. If you haven't enjoyed the session, my name's Thomas Lee. If you have, it's Andy Malone. All right? Thank you so much. Thank you.